the days before ascension are a meditation on the departure of Christ to heaven, and they are therefore a time when we are to contemplate what it is to live without Christ physically and visibly present. In order that one may meditate on this mystery, that is the mystery of the divine life in us, or the union that we have with Christ through the Church and by the Spirit, it is always good to refer to the chapters in St. John's Gospel from the 14th to the 17th. I would like to ask you to give a few moments consideration to these words of Christ, which are the first few verses of chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that bears no fruit he will take away, and every branch that bears fruit he will cleanse, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it remain on the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he shall be cast outside as the branch and wither. And they shall gather them up and cast them into the fire, and they shall burn. If you abide in me, and if my words abide in you, accept whatever you will, or rather, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done to you. In this is my Father glorified, that you may bear very much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, as I also have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Now, as briefly as possible, let us summarize this most awesome mystery, this mystery of our union with Christ. You understand, of course, that when Jesus says that he wants us to abide in him, he means that there will be a union of souls. You know that the hypostatic union is the union of the divine nature to Christ's human nature. And it is through our union with Christ that we are united to the Most Blessed Trinity. Christ is, as you know, of his very nature, the priest who unites in his own nature, who unites his faithful to God himself, and he does this by uniting our hearts to his. And since his heart, his human heart, is united to the divinity, thus is the union perfect. Furthermore, Jesus sends forth his Spirit into us, the most blessed Spirit of God, into us and dwells in us by his Spirit, so that we are considered to be temples of the most holy Trinity. The life that we share with Christ is made possible through the Spirit's imparting divine grace, sanctifying grace to us. So that when Jesus says to abide in him, he means that we are supposed to live by his grace, to have his grace in us always. This requires, of course, first of all, that we eschew and reject all that is sinful and all that is ungodly. It means further that by faith we are to live the supernatural life, the life that only those who are in grace can live. Jesus says now that there will be two kinds of branches, those which will die and will have to be pruned away simply because they become detached. Their death is their detachment through sin from Christ and his mystical body. Those who remain united to him, to the true vine, the Father will cleanse, he says. He will perform those ministrations whereby that branch can be more fruitful. Those ministrations, of course, are the sufferings and the trials that God asks us to bear. And as you recall well, the scriptures say, whom the Lord loveth, he chastiseth. Which means that all that God sends you in the way of sufferings, you are to see as part of his pruning and purging hand. Nothing is accidental in his dispensation. And the closer you live with him, the closer you seek to do his will, the more you will be asked to suffer. And the more, of course, the more meritorious and fruitful will this suffering prove to be, because it will serve the purpose of despoiling you of your selfishness, of raising you out of the world. It will detach you from those toys and sweets that this world and this earthly life fascinates and captivates you with, and you will, simply by unburdening yourself of these earthly weights, soar more close to the divine being. Jesus makes the point that if anyone does not abide in me, he shall be cast out as a branch and wither, and they will gather them up and throw them into the fire. Thus does he teach us the reality of hell. Those who abide in him and are faithful to his words, they shall bear much fruit, and it is in the fruit of their virtue, particularly in the strength and the wholesomeness, the beauty and the generosity of their love of God, that the goodness and the beauty of God is manifest. The love of God in the soul causes all virtue to flourish and to flower forth and to manifest the divine being in the world, in the person who possesses him. I urge you, therefore, contemplate the great love that Christ wishes you to have for him. He says, abide in his love, just as he abides in the Father's love. The perfect model of this union is, of course, our Blessed Lady. I hope all of you are saying the Rosary daily during this month. This is, after all, the month of our Mother. You should make her the model of your seeking to dwell in perfect union with Christ. I make the comparison between Christ dwelling in Mary during the months of her pregnancy and Christ dwelling in him by virtue of her most perfect love. Such a union as we can only draw back in admiration of. And yet we are allowed to have that higher union which Mary had with him by grace. We are allowed so to possess Christ and through him the most blessed Trinity that we can say what St. Paul said, if we are truly serious and earnest about the matter, that I live now, not I, but Christ lives in me. There is a further note And you, of course, could add this. I'll put it to you in this way. I ask my religion students today how one grows to love Christ. I was talking to them about the choice that they have between heaven and hell. The choice is so radical and so absolute that one wonders that there would be any choice at all. On the one hand, we have eternal perdition, total and utter desolation, and indescribable burning. On the other, we have possession of the magnificent kingdoms and glories of God. I remark to the students that it is a marvel that there would be any choice at all. And yet, Scripture has it, and Jesus revealed it, that most people choose the more ready delights of this earth in exchange for an eternity of suffering, or I should say in exchange for an eternity of happiness. They snatch rather at those things which they see, those transitory pleasures, and because these pleasures so engulf them and so make them idolaters of Satan, that they are carried away by the sheer force of their own passion and their enthrallment with the devil's enticements. Whereas Christ offers us all the joys of heaven if we will but persevere in faith and love, and we will renounce all things for his sake. I ask the students how one grows to love Christ in order that he might so possess Christ's kingdom. And they all said, by prayer. And that was true. I was delighted that they answered that. It is through prayer that one comes to know Christ, and in knowing him, comes to love him the more, and in loving him, comes to find that he needs nothing but Christ, and in possessing him, finds that he already possesses a taste of heaven. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.